there are many, many things that are toxic to humans that can cause death if we ingest them in high quantities. These might not cause visible signs that show up in a post-mortem, though. So how do we detect them? Sarah Hall is from Anglia Ruskin University. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Chris.
So what sorts of chemicals can you detect?
Oh, all kinds of things. Natural products, obviously more synthetic drugs, all kinds, yeah.
And how do you go about doing that normally?
Well, we first do preliminary tests, which tend to be colour tests, that give you a positive ID. More about the class of the drug rather than the specific drug.
And then so when you say a colour test, are you saying you literally take a sample from a person and you mix it with something, and if a chemical is there, a drug is there, it will produce a colour that you
yes.
can see?
Yes, it will, yeah.
Okay, and how does that work?
There's different reactions, there's lots of different tests, but it involves a fair amount of sort of complex chemistry. But the idea of them is they work quite fast. You can do it at a scene, it's in situ, and they give a bright colour very quickly. So it's very obvious if you get a positive.
So what sorts of specimens can you test?
Well, we can test urine, we can test blood, we can even test hair. Hair's quite good because it gives us a sort of longer time frame to looking at maybe the victim themselves or maybe abusive drugs, etc. So
how does that work? How does the hair end up being useful?
Well, there's certain chemicals in your hair that allow things to be trapped in it, and they sort of bond quite tightly, so they remain in your hair for a long time.
The chemical would therefore go round in your bloodstream, and because the hair is growing inside your body and then coming out, the drug in your bloodstream gets incorporated inside the hair. Is that what you're saying? And
yeah,
you can pick that
correct,
up?
Chris. Yes, we can.
And so can you tell roughly how much someone has been using a drug?
Yes, we can. We can quantify it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Shall we have a go? Have you got anything you can show us?
I've got some little colour tests to have a look, and if somebody wants to come and have a look at it, they're most welcome.
What's your name?
Millie.
Okay, so while Millie gets her gloves on, just talk us through, please, Sarah, what we've got here. So you have got a little china plate with lots of little indentations in it, little wells, and a big box with what? Oh, it says there's some dangerous drugs in here.
Yes,
wow. Right, so what are we going to do?
Well, the first test is a test that can be used in a crime scene straight away. So you don't need to be a chemist to do this sort of thing. And it's just a glass ampoule that's got a specific reagent in that reacts with certain classes of drugs.
So this drugs are you going to look for?
We're looking for opiates. So I've got an opiate with me. So let's see if we get a nice colour change.
Do you want to test any of the audience?
No, I better not. I better not.
Sure, you would find nothing. So you are taking out from the box, you've got a little ampoule there, and this is the reagents, the thing that's going to react with the drug molecules if they're there.
I'm just going to find myself a pipette.
It's a little glass pipette to draw up.
A little spatula, because you don't need much. A really small amount gives you a really good colour change, which is why they're very good tests.
Okay, so we're going to mix some of the... You've brought along, obviously, some opiate chemicals to show us that this actually works.
So we've got a glass ampoule, and so it's got reagents in. So can you see the solid in it, Millie? Yeah? So what you do is you break the top off, put a small amount of powder, but you could also put a liquid in. Put the top on, give it a shake, and you should get a nice purple colour.
Okay, let's have a go. So at the moment, this ampoule has just got clear, colourless fluid in it. That's the top coming off the glass ampoule, and you've got your pot of opiate, and does the policeman... You know there's a policeman here.
I do. I'm keeping quiet. Shh. Okay. I'm keeping quiet.
Wow, that really is a very tiny amount you've put in. Literally a couple of grains of the agent.
Yeah, milligrams. Okay. You hardly need any.
Okay. So we're going to shake that up.
You should start seeing a purple colour coming through.
Tell us what you're seeing, Millie.
At the bottom, the bubbles are turning purple.
Yeah.
A very bright purple.
It is a very bright purple, so that tells me there's an opiate there.
Okay. And how much can it, or how sensitive is this? How much can you pick up?
They are quite sensitive, but the actual instrument techniques that we use are very sensitive too. So, but they have to be sensitive, you know, because most street drugs are very dilute. They're diluted with some really nasty dilutants and all kinds of things. So, yeah, they have to be quite sensitive.
Thank you very much. Millie, do have a seat. If you use that at the scene of the crime, that would give you an indication of what was going on, but it obviously wouldn't tell you exactly what the agent was. It would tell you it was a class of agent, like an opiate or something, but you'd like to probably know more accurately what it was. So what can you do to get a more accurate chemical diagnosis of what's going on?
Well, so we do analytical tests. So the most techniques that are used in forensic science tend to be chromatography techniques because most drugs are fairly complex. There's a lot of things in street drugs. So you try and separate everything out so you're able to just look at the thing you're interested in, which is what the chromatography does.
How does that work? What is chromatography?
Well, it's just separation. So I've got some pictures to show you, actually, if you want to see them. But I've got,
that'll be good for the radio.
I've got what we call a chromatogram because it's chromatography.
Okay. This is it looks like a graph, effectively. There are lots of little peaks. It's like little teeth in a shark's mouth, actually. So what are those little peaks?
Well, this is a chromatogram of petrol. And there's over 200 components in petrol. So we need to separate them all out before we can identify all the individual components.
I see. So you would feed a sample into the machine.
Yes.
And it breaks it up into all of the individual components. Yes. So you can see when someone has been exposed to something, you won't just say it's opiates. You'll know all the different chemicals that are in
yes.
there.
Yes. And we have a detector on it, which is a really good detector. It's called mass spectrometry. But basically, how I understand it, it's like getting a hammer and smashing a molecule apart. And how the molecule breaks apart is indicative to that molecule. Only certain molecules break in certain ways. And if we know that, we can then do a positive identification.
Does that mean you could, for instance, if you had a sample of some drugs in an environment and you had a sample from the person, you'd be able to marry up almost the chemical profile in the drugs in the environment with the chemical profile from the person and prove that one had led to the other?
Yes, I mean, we don't just look for the drug, we look for everything else that's there too, and it enables us to do that, the chromatography.
And what sorts of things can one probe? It's not just illegal drugs you could look for. What else could you look for with these sorts of techniques?
I do a fair amount of ignitable liquid. So accelerant analysis is a good one, fire debris analysis.
So if it wasn't something that was a routine chemical that had killed our victim, but it was something a little bit more unusual, you could still find the molecule?
We could. It'd take a bit longer because it'd be like looking for a needle in a haystack a little bit, but yeah, we could.
Because it would stand out as one of those peaks. Because it wouldn't normally be in the body and you'd see something that was there that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Sarah Hall from Anglia Ruskin, thanks very much.